Hi, I forgot how to do this. Hi.
Hey.
Are you pouring your shot or are you doing a shot?
Poured a shot into my glass and I'm going to be drinking it slowly throughout the show.
Oh, okay. Something I don't know how to do. Drinking slowly. I'm starting to realize that the more and more I listen back to some of these episodes, I sound like I really should do less tequila this year.
Oh, that sounds slightly like deja vu, but not really.
I've said this before, haven't I?
I feel like you have.
All right. Welcome back to Unfiltered. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas and all those things. I feel like you didn't really get a chance to say that to anybody because we were away. My guest on the show today, my co-host, I guess, is Ottawa, my boyfriend.
Hi everybody. Happy New Year.
Are you going to say your thing? He's been wanting to say this thing. Not a seasoned broadcaster, but he's been wanting to say this thing that he thinks all broadcasters say. Go for it.
Baby. Okay, let me give it a shot. Hey, how you doing? This is Ottawa coming at you from O-Town, live and ready to go. How y'all doing?
Okay.
I know you don't like the y'all.
I also don't like the coming at you live. There's no broadcaster that says that anymore. No broadcaster coming at you live.
Coming at you live from O-Town.
Yeah, no. Nobody says that
anymore. I feel like that was a thing. All right, I dated myself a bit.
Yeah, okay. Radio. Sorry, that's my dog. He's going to bark in the background.
I believe he's our dog.
Sorry, our dog. Okay, so we're totally going to be that annoying couple who's doing a podcast together. This is not going to be a thing, I promise. I just wanted to guest on this episode because it was his first trip to Mexico. And obviously, a lot of people have a lot of questions on traveling right now during COVID times, what that's all about. And I just wanted to sort of talk to you about your first experience in Mexico, the place that I love so, so much. So that's why he's on the show today. I promise you it's not going to be like, you know, a mush fest. Although I did realize when we were away, I got to say this, the other reason why I wanted you on, I realized when we were away, we talk a lot as a couple. We're always talking. Like, we just talk forever.
Yeah, we do talk a lot. We have good conversation. We don't seem to run out. The barrel is never empty.
It's true.
That's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be that you know, silent, sort of awkward couple sitting in the room with nothing to say to each other and wondering if the other person is mad at you or thinks that there's something wrong. Or
yeah,
we never really have that, which is fantastic.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes if you do get quiet, I am still that, like, are you okay? Is everything okay? What's wrong?
Well, I know, but I mean, because we talk so much, it's few and far between.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so first of all, I Jason Momoa is single. Can we just get that out the gate? We need to address that out the gate. Are you worried?
Why do we need to address this?
Everybody was messaging me like, oh my God, Jason Momoa is single. Look, this is my opinion on it because, you know, I mean, he's been, you know, the dream for me. I'm sorry, Ottawa, I'm sorry. But that's just, you know. I actually feel bad. I feel horrible that they're breaking up. And here's why. This is Jason Momoa said that, what, I don't know, he was like 8 years old and he saw her on TV and he fell in love with her like instantly. And he was like, I'm going to marry that woman. That's the woman of my dream. I'm going to have her. Da, da, da. And he did. He made it happen. You know, and they had this beautiful romance. They have this whole thing and it just seems so perfect. So for it to end, it kind of like, it made me feel like, I don't know, I lost a little hope in love seeing them break up. Mm-hmm. Sad. And also my arms are open. No, I'm kidding.
Well, on that note, I do wish Jason Momoa the best of luck, and I'm sure whoever scoops him up will hopefully be a lucky girl. We don't really know the reason why. I don't think anyways that they've broken up, so who knows?
No.
It may turn out that he's you know, a bad man.
Listen to me. If we find out that Jason Momoa cheated on her or did some shit to her, I'm going to be so devastated. Like, of all the people that we find out is shitty behind the scenes, it better not be Jason Momoa. I have the highest hopes for that man. I'm sorry.
Well, time will tell, I'm sure.
I think they just grew apart. That's what I think. Baby doesn't want to gossip.
I have no words. That's it. I've run out of Jason Momoa.
Okay, so I'm going to take another shot at tequila. The episode is underway, obviously, and we're still doing tequila. We did a lot in Mexico.
Oh, my Lord, we did.
We did. Salute.
Salute. It, yeah, it wasn't quite like top shelf tequila. We did have some good tequila, yeah. But the stuff on the resort was, meh.
Yeah.
Definitely bottom shelf. We were able to drink a lot of it during the day and still manage the evening, so that there's something to be said there. I don't know how we could do as much tequila as we did during the day. Still, you know, go out to one of the a la carts or we did good though. We did well. We definitely took some tequila out of Mexico.
Yeah. I wonder if that speaks to the actual tequila or us. A little concerned.
Maybe a bit of both. And then there was the bottle of mezcal too that we bought in Playa del Carmen, which you thought tasted good in the store, mm-hmm. after the lady fed us like 10 or 12 different samples of tequila. We settled on the mezcal and brought it back to the hotel room, tried it out there, only to realize that it was fucking disgusting. It was kind of gross.
Yeah, it was mezcal. So she said that it was their like traditional drink.
Sort of the precursor to tequila.
Yeah. Yes. And I've had mezcal before, but not this much. And I think like, I don't know, maybe it's like a tequila in that it, like it takes some time. I just like, it was so, it's so smoky. It reminded me more of what you like. What is it? What is Maker's? It's a whiskey.
Bourbon.
It tasted to me like a bourbon more than anything.
Yeah. And I think that might have something to do with how it's distilled. I think she said it was distilled in,
underground
oak barrels or.
Yeah. And underground, she said, I think, mm-hmm. whatever that means.
Underground barrels.
Yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't tequila. That's all I know. Anyways, if you get a chance to try mezcal, it's okay. I'm still a tequila fan. That's never going to change. It was all right. So this was the first time that I've actually been to an all-inclusive resort in Mexico in like a million years. I couldn't remember the last time I actually went to an all-inclusive. But when we were booking, Ottawa had never experienced an all-inclusive. So my best friend and I were booking and we both were talking about it, saying like, he has to experience an all-inclusive. Everybody has to experience that once in their life. You know, the vibe of being able to drink whenever you want, eat whatever you want, just the ease of it. And we had both been, well, all of us had been quite busy before going away. So we all just felt like we want something simple, easy. We don't want any stress. We don't have to worry about Airbnb-ing it or like getting a car, getting groceries, like all the things. So we settled on an all-inclusive. I was quickly reminded why I don't love all-inclusives though on this trip. So we stayed at Barcelo, however you want to, I think it's Barcelo, in the Mayan Riviera or Riviera Mayan. And we stayed on the beach side. So there's like what, 4 or 5 different
I think there was 5 different resorts.
Yeah. So there's like Tropical and Caribe and the beach side. And then there's this like new adults only side, which is like Miami. It's not even like being in Mexico. It's totally like Miami.
Right. And we had a couple of friends who stayed there at the same time as us while we were staying at the beach resort.
Mm-hmm. They stayed in the adults only.
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, reviews are pretty good for that particular hotel. But if you're considering going there, just a heads up. I mean, it's like all a la carte dinners. I guess there's like buffet during the day or something like that, but you got to do all a la carte. So when you're like on vacation, I don't know about you, but like the phone goes down other than Instagram. There's no watches involved. I don't want to know the time. Like that's just like a thing. So if you're booking a la carte every night, you kind of got to be on a schedule, which is the very last thing you want on vacation, is to be on schedule. So that kind of irritating. That would irritate me. I'm glad we didn't have to do that. And also like just sort of the logistics of it. Some of the a la cartes were on that side. Others were like, it's far, like it's like, you know, across four or five different sections of this major resort. So they had to haul ass like to like, you know, a half an hour to get to the a la carte, which, you know, you're drinking all day on the beach. You don't feel like getting dressed, the whole thing. It's a big deal. So they weren't super happy with that. And I get why. For us though, we had access to like, you know, the buffets or whatever that were like right there. So it was,
the all you can eat buffets.
Yeah. And I think the adults only also, it reminded me of Miami. It was like, I don't know, like it's like concrete and not a lot of tropical vibes.
They also had some kind of a buffet, but I think for whatever reason it closed like relatively early, like by 6 or 6:30, that buffet was closed. So they had to leave, their resort and go to a different one if they wanted to eat, you know, buffet style instead of a la carte, which again, they were quite annoyed by.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, the whole thing with a la carte is it's like, you get this like sort of mentality. You want to get what you paid for. Like it was expensive. And you kind of go with that attitude of like, I want to drink and eat what I paid, or at least like in, you know, kinda. So you don't want to go off the resort too much because you've paid for these dinners and you've paid for these drinks and all the things. But a big reminder to me was like, what, day two? I think it was day two or day three. You got sick. Day two?
Yeah, I think that was day three. Day three.
Okay, day three.
Yeah. Yeah, day three sent me back to the hotel room at some point in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I was freezing. Like I got to the hotel room and I was chilled. So I jumped in the shower. I took a hot shower and then that wasn't enough. So I had to take a hot bath. And then from there I was in bed and I had the chills and the sweats and, you know, all this stuff is sort of going through your mind at this point. Like, you know, do I have COVID? Do I have, you know, traveler's sickness? You don't really know what's going on, but, yeah.
You call it traveler sickness, by the way.
Traveler sickness.
Trying to keep it classy. I appreciate that.
But yeah, for 2 days, I'd say I pretty much lost 2 days or a good day and a half in the room.
You did.
Just trying to get mobile again.
Yeah. And as an experienced traveler, I was like, oh, he's just got, you know, the thing, like he
traveler sickness
drank. Well, at first I thought it was, you drank too much. Maybe you know, it was sunstroke because you're not used to that kind of heat. But quickly realized it was traveler sickness from something we ate. And so he was in bed, lost a full day. And then I started feeling it. And I got it for 5 days of the vacation. I was like, you know, I champed up though. I didn't stay in the room. I didn't do any of the things. I drank tequila, like thinking that it would kill the bug, whatever it was. And I was just like, nothing is going to ruin this. I haven't traveled for 2 years. Nothing is going to ruin these 2 weeks that we're in Mexico. So I like powered through, but man, I was sick. Like I did not feel good. We were up like every half an hour in the bathroom. And, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast a million times. I don't want to do them things in front of you, Ottawa, in front of him. I like to keep the magic alive. So it really was like, you know, the whole like through sickness and health thing, I think brought us to a different thing in our relationship, a different stage in our relationship, but we kept it cool, right? Like we had code words.
Yeah. We had the special word.
Yeah. Privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. When one of us needed the bathroom, all we had to do was say privacy, and the other one would quietly make their way out to the balcony with a drink and just enjoy the scenery on the balcony.
Yeah, and close the door and sort of, man, it was that was really hard for me. Like, that was really hard for me to go through that with you, because we've been trying so hard to keep that magic alive, and we were to do so, but it was tough. But yeah, that was the reminder for me that, you know, like when I went to the bathroom, like all the bathrooms, all the female bathrooms.
Yeah, you knew where they all were on the resort.
Basically. I did. And this is embarrassing for me to talk about it now. But like, you could tell that a lot of people were sick, like just going into the bathroom. Like, you see, you could
hear and see other people.
Exactly. And difficulty. I was like, yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, so this is the only time I've ever been sick is on a resort. And I know not all resorts will make you sick. I know that. I know not all inclusives will do that. But it literally has been the only time that I haven't felt well. And every other time I've traveled to Mexico, I've stayed in an Airbnb. I've eaten out locally. I've eaten at, you know, on the street meat stands, like all the things. And I've never been sick like I have in resorts. So just my experience, I was just like, yep, nope, never doing this again. And aside from all of that, I don't feel like you actually got to experience Mexico. You know, when you go to an all-inclusive, you get this beautiful beach, you have the chairs, you have the ease of use, everything's right there for you. But the whole time I was thinking, you're not really seeing this side of Mexico that I love so much.
You did your best, though. I mean, for the days that we were there, and, you know, the days that I was sick and the days that you were sick, we did manage to get out to a couple of different cities, Tulum and Playa del Carmen, and we went to some caves.
Cenotes,
yes. Snorkeling.
So we didn't get off the resort. That was, like, very touristy stuff. Like, Playa del Carmen is, like, the most touristy part of Mexico.
But it is Mexico, right? Like you're surrounded by tourists, but you're in the middle of, you know, downtown Playa del Carmen. And it was a good day. I had fun on all of our little excursions.
Did you have fun in Playa del Carmen, though? Because I felt like you were a bit stressed.
Well, I mean, where we first got dropped off by the cab was like sort of, you know, most places have like an uptown and a downtown, and we definitely got dropped off downtown, like sort of in the you know, you're getting hit everywhere from merchants and vendors trying to drag you into their tent or their little shops, and they're pretty aggressive, you know. Mm-hmm. And then as we walked through that and sort of made our way towards uptown, you know, they sort of disappeared, and it got to be more of the shops and the stores and the restaurants and sort of like Bloor Street or uptown Toronto, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, I definitely liked it better once we got there, just because we weren't being harassed so much by people.
Yeah.
But it was interesting for sure to see and to experience. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. And then Tulum, I mean, do you want to start the story about the car rental and getting to Tulum?
Yeah. So, I mean, I spent a lot of time in Tulum, so this is just like a weird experience for me. I've never seen, I don't know. I don't know what this was all about, but we had rented a car, and heads up. So this had, again, never happened to me before. Every time I've rented a car in Mexico, easy, pick up the car, boom, boom, you're done. Like there's no issues. We rented it, and when we got there, there was this like massive lineup of people outside of what were we renting?
Hertz.
And yes, there was a massive lineup of people. So we're like, all right, we're going to get in this lineup, and you know, everybody else is lining up. As it turns out, talking to everybody there, there were no cars available, and we had booked it through Expedia. So they, I guess, basically told Expedia they still had cars available. When we got there, there were no cars available, and people were just waiting in line to get a car that wasn't there. They weren't even brought back yet, let alone cleaned and checked and all the things. So we ended up leaving. We were just like, screw it. We're not going to wait here forever.
But you know, and what I found strange about that was everybody in that line had a reservation. It's not like people were just randomly walking in there. Like everybody that I spoke to all had a car booked. So the people inside could see that they had a lineup of maybe 15 or 20 people outside waiting for cars. And they weren't coming outside to sit there and say, sorry guys, you know, no cars available. You should just be on your way. They were perfectly content to have us stand out there probably all day waiting for a car that, that they didn't have. Excuse me.
Yeah, I found that a little bit frustrating. Which again, I'm not used to that kind of service in Mexico. Like everywhere I've gone, you know, to get a car or out to restaurants or getting a home or any of the things that I've done. And I've spent like months there, never had these kind of issues. It was very bizarre for me to see that. So just like poor service on their behalf, on Hertz's behalf. You can't speak to all of them. I think it was a very busy time too. It was like New Year's Day that we were looking for a car. Was it New Year's Day?
I think it was the 2nd. Yeah, January 2nd.
And they certainly have their prices jacked up right now. Like I'm sure every country does. Like they're jacked the fuck up. You are not getting a car for $29 a day. Like no. It was like 100 American for the shittiest car ever. And you're like, what? When did this happen? Totally COVID recovery times. Like they're trying to make money back. I get that. But as someone visiting, you feel like you're being ripped off. Like every time you turn around, it was just kind of like, are you kidding me right now? Like there's no way a car costs $100 American for a 2-door shitty little fucking standard car.
It seems like those were the go-to prices. Anytime you ask somebody how much does something cost, it was either 50 American or 100 American. There wasn't a whole lot of in between.
Yeah, that was really strange. That was very strange. And I mean, it was. Either way, we didn't end up getting the car. So, you know, instead of giving up on things, because I won't give up on the adventure, we ended up renting an ATV for the day for the same price, $100.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, 1,500 pesos. So I think it was like $90 or something.
Yeah. And like the worst ATV possible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She stalled.
Yeah, she stalled. I think we named it Stall. Yeah, it was like stalling every 2 seconds. You were pretty good. You were a champ with that ATV, though.
Oh, it was fun, though. We got to, for sure, it allowed us to go to the ruins, check out some of the ruins.
You got to see the Tulum ruins, yeah.
Yeah, and then we went to that strip in Tulum, like along the beach, I guess. I don't know what you call it.
So there's two different parts to Tulum. There's Tulum, the town, Pueblo, and then there's like the beach area. And the beach area is like kind of what you see on Instagram. Like it's all the Instagram famous shots are all down at the beach in Tulum.
That's where Al Pacino hangs out.
Al Pacino hung out there. That's right. With his like 20-year-old girlfriend. but we didn't go too far down there though, because the ATV kept stalling. So I was like a little bit nervous. Although I don't get nervous about much, that was making me nervous because we actually stalled in the middle of an intersection. I mean, either way, big adventure. And that to me, I felt like the only time that you actually got to see the real Mexico. So those are all like the main reasons why I won't do the all-inclusive again. And the couple that was with us said the same thing. They wouldn't do an all-inclusive again. You kind of just miss, I think, maybe for 7 days. We were there for 2 weeks. Maybe for 7 days, be a little bit different. You just want to chill vacay. You don't want to think about anything. You don't have to worry about getting a car or like going out to eat or all those things. But I think like running on like the 10th day, it was kind of like, it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, as good as the food was, like when you first get there, it's nice to see the variety of different food you can eat for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after a week or so, it's sort of, it's all the same. It all kind of blends in. And no matter what buffet you go to on the resort, they're just serving the same food as the other buffets. So you don't really get a lot of variety in the buffets. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you do. But,
no.
You
know. So that's speaking to everybody who wants to, I think, know about an all-inclusive. You know, if you haven't done it, you know. And for your first experience, even, you recognize that. I mean, I think that's a big deal when you're going to a country. Like you want to eat the food, you want to feel the culture, and you don't
and hear the music, which we did not.
Oh my God. Yes. Music.
Cause they had music playing throughout the resort, there's like hidden speakers everywhere. So as you're walking through the resorts or in the restaurants or what have you, you always sort of have this sort of music in the background. And for whatever reason, so we got there on Christmas Day, totally expected to hear Christmas music on Christmas Day, but they were playing Christmas music until the day we left, which was January the 7th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could not get away from the Christmas music.
No, it was relentless. Okay, I feel like we're just like complaining about everything when in actuality, it was pretty good. I mean, those are just some of the reasons, like I said, that we won't do an all-inclusive resort again, but the traveling part, I feel so grateful that we actually got to go given the times that we're in.
Absolutely. I mean, all in all, it was a fantastic trip. You know, mm-hmm. we went when everybody was more or less telling us that we probably shouldn't. I don't know if you were getting it in your ear, but
I
was certainly getting it on my end. You know, people asking me if I was sure that now was the best time to go, and we did it. I have no regrets. COVID in Mexico is definitely not as didn't seem as crazy as it is here. Like, you're not being bombarded with it. Or maybe we were just tuned out, you know, to the media and all that. But yeah, certainly life was a little bit more normal in Mexico. I mean, people, we still had to wear masks when we were walking into, you know, the buffet areas and areas where there was lots of people. But, you know, when you're on the beach, you get that feeling of normalcy. COVID just kind of dwindled away and you didn't really think about it for the day, which was fantastic. But yeah, all in all, you know, for my first all-inclusive trip, it was pretty much what I expected, you know, to be at a beautiful resort with a beautiful woman and beautiful friends. And aside from getting sick for a few days, it was, you know, lots of memories, lots of fantastic memories.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I was talking to my girlfriend who had actually, our friends that came with us, and, you know, just sort of being back home now. And, you know, if you've ever traveled before and you're a traveler, when you come home, there's this sort of like deep, dark depression that sets in. And the first week, not only because Ottawa and I live long distance and we had spent our first like 19 days together, mm-hmm. There was that like, we have to separate again. That was really tough. But also just like coming back to this bitter, bitter cold.
The cold, my gosh.
The cold and COVID. And like you said, I mean, you're kind of removed from it other than seeing people wear masks here and there going in. Every time you walk into a buffet, you have to wear a mask. They check your temperature. It's strange to see PCR testing stations and COVID rapid testing stations all over Tulum. There's these like random like
stations.
That was kind of strange to see. So, you know, you were reminded of COVID through those things. Mm-hmm. But all in all, you are kind of removed from it. But that sort of depression sets in once you get home. If you crave that sunshine and that warmth and all the things, and you got to come home and you got to come home to work and all the things, you know, you've been off and enjoying yourself and you got to come back to all that shit. So that set in. But all in all, it was easy enough to travel, you know? I mean, I would say do whatever you want. I know friends who are canceling trips right now. They don't want to go out of fear, you know, for getting it, not necessarily scared of COVID, but scared of what happens with COVID. We heard a number of stories while we were there of people getting stuck. And I jokingly said a number of times before we left, I don't care if I get stuck in Mexico. It wouldn't be the worst thing. And but you don't get stuck in the resort that you're in. You know, they put you in a different hotel and there's a guard outside the door. And, you know, it's not as easy and as, you know, glamorous as getting stuck on the beach in Mexico, if you get it. So,
yeah, I think it could have went a lot worse for us. Had one of us gotten COVID and we tested positive prior to leaving, then for sure that would have, you know, I don't know exactly what would have happened. I'm sure we would have been quarantined into a room of some sort. And
yeah,
it probably wouldn't have been a good week.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. It wouldn't have been as nice as the resort we were on, that's for sure. So, I mean, your own discretion, right? Like, we had to test before we left. That's, you know, part of the rules. You got to take a PCR test. So you have to pay for that. So that was like $100 American each, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to, when you land, so you have to test negative, obviously, to get on the plane to come back to Canada. And then you have to use the app, the, what is it called?
Arrive Can,
and show that you have negative results there. And then when you arrive in Canada, everything seems seamless until you like get through the gates and you're like home free, and you're not home free. Just when you think you are, they give you like a pink or a green sticker, and maybe they'll change the colors between our travel time and now. But we ended up getting the pink sticker, which meant we had to test at Pearson Airport. And I mean, our friends got the green sticker, so they got to take their test home.
And on that note, so our friends left a couple days before we did. And so they had to go through this whole process at Pearson 2 days before us. And Mel got a message saying basically, okay, if you get pink, you're good to go. Whereas if you get green, it means you have to get a PCR test at the airport. So when we went through customs and we each got a pink sticker on our passport, we're like, woohoo! Scot free, and we're like walking out of the airport like there's no tomorrow. And then boom, we get snagged, and they put us in this lineup of like probably, I don't know, 200 people who are people from all over the world, like who knows where they're coming from. But you know, we're both looking at each other thinking like, you know, if we didn't have COVID before, there's a good chance we're gonna get it now.
Yeah,
because there was no 6 foot spacing. Mm-hmm. They had those, I don't know, the people that the attendants or whatever wearing the garbs and the masks, like mm-hmm. walking by us like every, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And there was a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, so these people are at the airport every single day walking through a lineup of people with potential COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're walking by us like every 20 seconds. And yeah, it was just a bad experience to come back to, and sort of the whole reminder of COVID again.
Yeah, totally. You're reminded of it at the second you get on the plane to come home. Yeah. The second you get that PCR test, you're like, okay, back to reality. We ended up having a test at the airport, like he said, and then they let us go, and you're kind of like let go on an honor system. Like you're going to go home and you're going to quarantine until you get these results, which to me, I mean, I'm grateful because I wouldn't want to have to, you know, like in the beginning of COVID, go to a hotel at the airport. We've heard some really horrific stories about those hotels. So on an honor system, we did quarantine until we got the results, which we got 4 days later. So we were off work on the Monday. We had arrived on Friday. We were off on the Monday and we got the results like Monday. So both of us obviously testing negative. And my friend who ended up having to take the rapid test at home, or the, I don't know if it was PC, I guess it was a rapid test, having to take the test at home, they give you an appointment time. So you have to take your test on a video feed or camera with a doctor. And their test was literally just a couple of days ago. They've already been home for like 5 or 6 days. Then they finally test. Then they have to wait for those results to come in. So the quarantine period actually ended up being a lot longer than if you test at the airport. And all in all, at Pearson, I think we were there an extra 45 minutes, which really wasn't a big deal.
No. And quite a bit of a difference between the PCR test in Mexico and the PCR test we did in Canada, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit different. A little bit different, yeah.
Yeah, I think they just wanted us gone.
I don't know. That's hard to say. I mean, we were speculating that it was, she did the swabs. You can see it on my Instagram, the video. The swab was like just hardly on my tongue. She barely touched me, but.
Yeah, they gave us the option. She was like, do you want us to swab your mouth or your nose?
Your nose. And
we were both like, mouth?
Mouth, please. Yeah. Yeah. Either way, relatively seamless. But I, like I said, we don't have horror stories to tell about it. I think it was pretty easy given that we're in a pandemic and the numbers are so bad here in Canada. But we heard stories. We met people who are from Miami who were like, COVID's over in Miami. Like, they were looking at us like we were super paranoid because we had our masks on still. Like, it was kind of strange to see how everybody else is living compared to us.
Yeah.
I found, anyways.
Mind you, we were in line for a bank machine in Tulum at this time. And the two people in front of us were from Miami. And there was a girl or two girls behind us. I think they were Polish or Russian or something like that. But she was like coughing and sneezing and she had a runny nose and she was like maybe a foot and a half behind us. And we kept looking at her. And I just wanted to say, like, can you please put on your mask? But instead of doing that, we like kind of pulled our masks up and over our noses just to make sure that, you know, we were covered. And I think that's when the girl from Miami was like, you know, where are you guys from anyways?
And she was like, oh, Canada. Yeah,
you guys. Yeah, we've heard about you guys.
And we're not like uber paranoid or anything, but I mean, you know, I don't want to get sick and I certainly didn't want to have to quarantine in Mexico. Like, that was starting to become a bit of a fear. Like, before you come home, all you start thinking about is please don't get it before, like, I'd love to stay here, but I know it's not going to be glamorous. So, yeah, you're just being super careful before you come home. But all in all, relatively seamless. I mean, it changes every day. By time this comes out, who knows what the numbers will be. And I mean, you use your own discretion, but that's our experience in traveling. Mm-hmm. We didn't, I'm grateful we did it. I felt like Mexico fixed me. Like, it just brought me alive again these last 2 years as everybody's been going through. And I know I'm not any different, but I've kind of felt a little dead inside. It's fucking dark. It's been dark times, man. And like, you know, not dressing up and wearing those same damn Lululemon pants to work every day, because no one's seeing me. And in Mexico, just sort of like you got dressed again. We went out for dinners. We went out for breakfast. You know, you had to sort of present yourself again. And I felt alive, like something lit up. And I missed that. You know, I really realized when we came home how dark it is when everything's shut down like this. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, as much as we were kind of bashing the resort, there was some good things too. Like on New Year's Eve, we came home to, on Christmas night when we got there, they had a bottle of champagne for us. Mm-hmm. And then on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, we called room service or whatever. And we were like, we need more beer. We need more beer. We need, and then we were like, can you bring us up some champagne too? Oh no, he brought the beer. And then we were like, oh no, we want more beer. So then he came back with a case.
Yeah.
Of beer, a full case of Corona and a bottle of champagne. And I thought he just was giving us like, you know, three or four beer from the case. And then he was like, here, you take. I'm like, okay, thank you.
We tipped him well.
We did. Yes. That was nice.
Speaking of New Year's, you asked me on New Year's, if I had any resolutions, and I've been saying for the last few years that I'm not making resolutions. I realized that when I got home, I think it's just a cop out. Like, I just don't want to make any commitments to myself.
Right.
Because I don't want to fail. I hate failure. So like, I'm
just, do I hear
like,
a but?
Yes, you do hear a but. I've been thinking since I've been home, I don't want to make anything like, any resolution that's like so drastic and dramatic that I can't keep up to it. Because again, I don't want to like fail myself, but I've decided I'm going to do less of a lot of things. I'm going to do less complaining this year. I feel like there's been a lot of complaining for the last couple of years.
What? You complain?
What?
I never heard you complain.
Come on now. Less complaining and, less, more
how do
drinking.
You do that?
What?
Well, how do you complain less if you complain? Like, do you just catch yourself in the middle of complaining and then realize that you're breaking your resolution, or do you wake up in the morning and go, okay, No complaining today.
I think it's living in more gratitude is really what it is. Like, it's the reverse. I'm just going to live in more gratitude for what I actually do have. So just a little less complaining. I'm going to worry less about what people think, because despite what it seems like, I do worry about that way too much. So like I said, Mexico kind of fixed me and sort of like ignited my soul again, where I'm like, listen, I don't really care what anybody thinks anymore. So follow along in the gram. You'll see. Okay. And I'm going to swear less. I feel like I swear a little bit too much sometimes. Ottawa, be careful.
You have your moments. You have your moments.
From Sudbury. You can't take that out of me. I'm sorry. You can't take it all the way out of me. So I'm just going to try to, and I don't know why. It's just, I want to be a little more mindful of swearing.
Well, those are good resolutions. So yeah. Complain less, swear less.
Swear less.
And
stop worrying about what people think. That's right. Yeah. So a little less of everything.
Well, that's good. For someone who's not doing resolutions, I think those are
pretty good
ones,
right?
To start with. Yeah.
What about you?
A little bit less. So my resolution was to quit buying beer during the weekdays and just kind of save it for the weekends or for when, you know, we're celebrating or doing something, rather than, you know, having those two or three beers after work every day.
Yeah, you're a beer guy.
I am a beer guy, yes.
Ottawa's a beer guy.
It showed in some of our pictures in Mexico too. So I was like, damn. Gotta stop drinking after work.
And the audacity of some people to actually, I shouldn't even say the audacity. It's the world of social media. I should expect this. But we're posting these like loving photos. I'm finally happy, you know, with someone. We're finally happy in all these years, you know.
Oh, and bring up that comment.
And I'm not, you can say it if you want to say it, but we post this, like, I thought a beautiful photo, and someone commented on Ottawa's looks. And I was just like, exactly what I was talking about, not worrying about what people say. But in the moment, we were in Mexico, and I was just like, why you gotta rain on my parade right now? Why do you gotta say something?
He was a jealous dude.
It's just crappy. You know, it's just crappy. I hope people make the resolution to not say crappy things on people's pictures.
Not be fucking shitty. I'll swear if you won't.
I was going to say, I'm trying really hard not to swear.
Don't be a fucking asshole.
Okay. So I hope that helped. I mean, I don't know. We're sort of rambling on, and I apologize if it's just nauseating to hear a couple chat, but we're sort of that nauseating couple. We're happy.
I love you.
I love you too. Shush. Okay, quickly before we go, as we do, we end every episode with a recommend. Before I left, I recommended Brené Brown's new book, Atlas of the Heart. And I have to say, I'm going to be honest and admit that I only read about 4 pages in Mexico. I said that we would read along. I did not. The tequila, it got to me. We partied too much, so I didn't get a lot of reading done. However, since I've been home, I've been listening to, on Audible, Atomic Habits. You probably heard about it because it went viral. What's her name was talking about it? Reese Witherspoon. So great book so far on just starting these new habits and or breaking old habits. There's a lot of things that I need to work on. So that book is, I'm just sort of a couple chapters in, but that would be my recommend, Atomic Habits. Do you have one?
I guess I would have to
say. Don't you
say,
like that like cowboy show or something like that? Like
there's cowboy show. Yes.
Yellow, I'm watching yellow knife or yellow jacket. Yellowstone.
Yellow jacket. Yeah, no, and it's probably not a new show to a lot of you out there. I just got into it in the fall. So I've been enjoying kind of binge watching when I can, because I think there's 4 seasons and I'm just starting the 4th season now. But yeah, fantastic show. Kevin Costner is the producer and star of the show. And I'm not usually a big Kevin Costner fan, but when he does
have you seen The Bodyguard? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and Waterworld. When he does do something good, though, he does tend to do it well. Like Robin Hood was one of my favorite movies for like a long, long time, from the 90s or whatever. And anyways, yeah, Yellowstone would be my pick. It's what I'm into now, and it's really good. If you like Western.
What is it about?
It's basically about a well-to-do family who own a ranch, and it's been in their family for like generations and generations. And basically each season, it seems like there's a different group of people or businesses who are coming after them to try and get the ranch, to develop the land for an airport or a casino or something to that effect. So largely it's about them, you know, defending this ranch, and then obviously their, you know, relationships with one another and what have you.
I've heard a lot about the show, though. A lot of people are talking about it, so I totally understand. I know a lot of people are hyped up about it. All right. In the meantime, you can follow Ottawa if you want to on socials. Do you want people to follow you on socials?
I don't think so.
So do you want me to, you don't want me to throw out there?
You can throw it out there, but yeah, no, socials aren't really my deal. My Facebook is literally dedicated to family and friends, and my Instagram is dedicated to following you. So that's it.
All right. So I won't throw it out there then, just for privacy. But of course you can continue and follow us on at Unfiltered with Melanie Now on Insta. Appreciate you. And for those of you who are still supporting me on Patreon, thank you. I appreciate you. We will have some new episodes with some new co-hosts, guest stars, all the things coming up in the coming weeks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Love you.